Does Josh Norman want to get in on the love fest around the league for Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson?
You said, do I want to get on a what?
What do you think of Deshaun?
Oh, what I think of him, he's a great athlete. I mean,
so every Tuesday at the 7:40 marker, we have something called Trainwreck Tuesday, which we basically play the most entertaining sound that Landry can find from the weekend. That's the best way I can set it up. And if you missed it, you will not want to miss tomorrow at this time, because we're going to relive the absolute figurative train wreck that was Josh Norman's appearance on our show on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. And
what a terrible interview that was.
I sent it
terribly good.
I sent it to a few people. I played it for somebody, and there were all sorts of theories about what Josh Norman was doing.
I know what he was doing.
What was he doing?
I have a theory. What he was doing is he was in Los Angeles, so it was about 7 o'clock for him. So he's not used to getting up at 7 o'clock. And what happened was he got a call from the guy that was setting up the interview, and he just grabbed the phone, yep, put it on speaker, and laid it by his pillow to where he was still laying on his pillow, and he was talking to it in speakerphone. That's my theory.
That's a good theory. I mean, that's basically how it sounded. But it was apparent like 30 seconds, like, we need to abort this, but we can't. So we need to go on for a few more minutes, but it was kind of funny. The text line was great on Friday. So we're gonna relive the Josh Norman interview, the questions, the answers tomorrow at this time. Celtics crushed the Cavs in Game One of their series. Really, this was one of those games where the only thing you needed to see was the first quarter, because nothing else really mattered. The Boston had a huge run in the first quarter. They hit a lot of shots. They played good defense. The Cavs couldn't make anything. The Cavs couldn't play defense. And that was about all she wrote. And you're in this spot where, like, you don't want to overreact to one game, because we see the fallacies of that. Because all Boston did was they won Game One at home, which is what they should win. They should win a home game. But at the same time, you have this feeling with this Cavs team that you're like, okay, is this Cavs team just not that good, combined with they have a hex over the Raptors? Like, you don't know what to trust with this Cavalier team. This is not LeBron and Kyrie Irving. This is LeBron, sometimes Kevin Love, and these other dudes who are just like up in the air. You have no idea what you're getting on a nightly basis.
I don't bet against LeBron James in the Eastern Conference. Even when they were even when they lost to the Pacers, and even when they were heading into their series against the Raptors,
faith.
I told you that I thought LeBron James was going to win the Eastern Conference. I don't bet against the guy that's been to the NBA Finals how many ever consecutive years, going back to every year since 2011 and on. LeBron James has been in the NBA Finals from the Eastern Conference. So until I see someone dethrone him, then I'm not going to bet against him. But I'm watching this Celtics team, and I don't necessarily think it's an overreaction to one game, because the Celtics have been doing this the entire playoffs. Despite the fact that they haven't had Gordon Hayward all year, and despite the fact that they lost Kyrie Irving late in the season, the Boston Celtics, for whatever reason, are a scrappy team, and they're dangerous. I guess I am overreacting, but I entertain the idea of the Boston Celtics facing either the Rockets and Warriors, and I don't think that they can beat either one of these teams, but I do think that they could scrap against them. But I don't think they get past LeBron James. I think LeBron is still too much, but just what the Boston Celtics have done and what they've been able to do is beyond impressive, and we're about halfway through 2018. This has been a damn good year for team sports. We always talk about superstar players, but as far as team sports go, you saw the Philadelphia Eagles win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles at quarterback after they lost the likely MVP Carson Wentz at the end of the season. And you're seeing the Boston Celtics right now, three games away from making it to the NBA Finals, despite the fact they don't have their superstar players. This has been a very, very, very good year for team sports in 2018.
Well, you're looking at a situation here. Think about this. In the NBA, when a team loses its two best players, I mean, when a team loses its two best players, to be playing like this in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's crazy when you think about the way basketball works. You imagine the Rockets without James Harden and Chris Paul. This team would be a lock for like the high lottery, essentially. This team, without their two best players, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, and you might be saying, like, all right, maybe Tatum's better than Hayward. That's a possibility, I suppose. People forget, like, Gordon Hayward is a damn good basketball player. To lose your two best guys and to be playing like this, and, I mean, this Brad Stevens is obviously a great coach. And I know that there are a few coaches who are more accomplished than Brad Stevens is in the NBA, because you got Pop, who's got five championships, and you've got, you know, other guys, Carlisle, Spoelstra, dudes who have won, obviously. But even though he doesn't have the accomplishments and the production, he very well might be at this moment just the best coach in the league. And that's what it's going to be moving forward. This is a guy who gives them like a genuine big advantage every season and in every game.
And I don't know why they're not mentioned as a possible destination for LeBron James. I mean, if you're just looking at the actual assets and everything they have, I mean, they could get rid of Kyrie Irving and they could bring in LeBron James. Like, we throw out all these scenarios and we talk about Philadelphia, we talk about Houston, we talk about all these scenarios. And I just think from a basketball fit, and from the perspective of having an opportunity to play for a good coach for the first time in your career, all right, that's a little unfair because I think Spoelstra is a pretty decent coach. But to play for the best coach that you've played for in your career and a team that hasn't necessarily gotten over the hump, so you won't be looked at as the Kevin Durant that just latched onto a championship squad, I just don't see why the Boston Celtics aren't being thrown out there as a possibility for LeBron James.
I would say it's not. I think there's been such a big rivalry with LeBron and Boston for the last decade or so, and I also think that they're in a position to where it's not going to be that easy to get rid of Kyrie, because now people are going to look at Danny Ainge and they're going to treat him like a used car salesman. Like, if he calls you up and says, hey, I'm going to trade you Kyrie Irving, you're going to be like, oh, really? What about, how does he compare to Isaiah Thomas? Like, what medical things does Kyrie have going on that you're not telling me about?
When is the last time he lost a trade? Like, when is the last time, not only when is the last time that Danny Ainge lost a trade, when's the last time he made a trade and he didn't look like a complete genius and the other side didn't look like a complete moron? You go back to the Rondo trade with the Mavericks.
Yes.
That was an absolute disaster. The guy quit on the team in the playoffs, and they got a draft pick. They got Jay Crowder. They got all these pieces. You go back to them not trading for Paul George last year. People were laughing at them. People were dogging
him
for not.
And Jimmy Butler.
And Jimmy Butler. They didn't do that. They got Babyface Hayward to go there, and they traded for Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving for Isaiah Thomas. Absolute disaster in Cleveland. They got rid of him months after he got there. When is the last time? The Brooklyn Nets trade where he traded Pierce Garnett and all them to Brooklyn. When is the last time that Danny Ainge made a trade and he didn't make the other side look completely stupid?
Good question. And this point relates to what you mentioned earlier, the hypothetical of what if the Rockets play a fairly non-competitive series against Golden State? Not that it will happen. Again, I think that the Rockets will lose in six, but I think they will push Golden State. I think they will push them to a point that they have not been before. That's my expectation. But if you look at the landscape of the league and just how many championship opportunities that you get, if you look at Boston, it's an easy thing to say, and maybe this will be right, maybe this will be wrong, but you look at this team, you'll say, hey, this team might go to the NBA Finals or not, but at least push the Cavs to at least five games, likely six or seven, and they're going to get Kyrie, and they're going to get Hayward back, and they've got other assets as well, which the Rockets don't have. You don't have many of these kind of opportunities like the Rockets have right now. And as a texter pointed out, DWIattorney.com text line, one challenge about the offseason, depending on how this series with Golden State shakes out, is I think Chris Paul's going to be back here, but they're going to have to max out Clint Capella. The Rockets will match any offer for Clint Capella. Like, they're just in a position to where they're going to have to do that based on who he is, his age, the chemistry with Harden, and the fact that they can't afford to lose him, which is fine, except it obviously reduces your flexibility to make your team better.
And we talk about winning a championship, and I think we naturally look at the Warriors here as we look at the Rockets heading into the Western Conference Finals, and we think this is the number one hurdle that James Harden and company is going to have in order to win that championship. In order for James Harden to win a championship, the Warriors are that number one hurdle. Dude, the Boston Celtics right now are on the cusp of making the NBA Finals. They have the guys that we just mentioned. I wouldn't be shocked if, as the Warriors get older and their bench gets thinner and thinner, and it gets more difficult to bring in guys like Andre Iguodala and like these other guys, I'm not certain that the Boston Celtics, in a short time, aren't going to be the biggest hurdle that teams in the NBA have to win an NBA championship.
It's very possible.
Just look at what they got right now, and look at what they don't even have on their roster, and look at all the room they have to improve their team. We look at the Warriors. Look at Boston right now. They're playing with house money right now with a bunch of young, scrappy guys. that are still pretty battle-tested for how young they are. They got one of the coaches that we know is not going anywhere.
Yep.
He's a young guy. We're calling him Baby Popovich right now. We look at the Warriors. Yeah, that's a hurdle for the Rockets, but the Boston Celtics aren't far behind.
Real quick note here in football that relates to the Texans, and we're going to do a lot of Rockets stuff here in advance of Game 1 coming up at the top of the hour. Story Landry on NFL.com. Landry in for Seth this morning. Seth has a vocal issue with his allergies, so... Seth is off this morning, hopefully back tomorrow at 6. There's a story, NFL.com, the Colts have no doubt that Andrew Luck will be ready for training camp. This is based on what our good friend Charlie Casserly reported on Rookie Camp Live, saying the Colts are very confident Luck is going to be ready for training camp. Quote, there is no question in their mind that he will open training camp throwing the football. Right now they're being conservative. He's throwing a weighted ball. That's where they are right now. But he's going to start training camp. They are totally confident in that. Training camp is 2+ months away.
Okay, I heard this last year. I mean, I've heard this last year. And how can they be confident if he hasn't thrown a real football? Like you don't know how his arm is going to react when he actually throws the football. I would tap the brakes on expecting Andrew Luck to do anything. We've heard this. We heard this all last year. Jim Irsay basically said he was going to be ready for the start of the season. It's sad what's happened to Andrew Luck, but do you really expect Andrew Luck to A, get back on the field, and B, when he gets back on the field, do you expect Andrew Luck to be what he was or what we thought he could be?
Weird Mike Meltzer question alert right now.
I love this.
Weird
I love
Mike
these.
Meltzer question alert.
Love these.
If you say that you're so down on Andrew Luck, why shouldn't you be equally down on Kawhi Leonard? Because the Spurs would have expected him to come back from his quad injury much sooner and stay much healthier this year,
because,
and he was not.
Because there's a lot of weird crap going on with Kawhi Leonard, too. Like, there seems to be so much more than just physical nature. It seems like he has, like, outsiders pushing him in strange directions. And because...
Okay.
We saw it was just one season. I don't.
Well, this was only, to be fair, this was for Luck because he played the full year the year before. This was only, I know people think this is like 2 or 3 years. This
but
is only
but
one
it
year.
Looked like he was dying when he was out there. Like you could just see the struggle.
He wasn't
like
the same guy.
He wasn't even close to himself. And how am I supposed to believe that Andrew Luck, a guy that when his arm was as good as it's ever been, he was throwing interceptions. How am I supposed to believe that a guy who has these surgeries and comes back and already threw interceptions before isn't going to have even more trouble throwing interceptions as his arm strength decreases?
That's a very fair question.